This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Jazakumullah khairan everyone for attending this third installment of Hajj Learning Series with GLM. Alhamdulillah, we've covered already two sessions and we were actually thinking of cancelling this one because of, as you're aware, phase three supposed potential launch was today and it hasn't gone through. So alhamdulillah, we've decided to then continue with our third installment. This session, inshallah ta'ala, will be going through the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or certain parts or moments from the Hajj of the Prophet with our Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan. He's just coming in now. But before we start, I just wanted to go through our package just very quickly. If you don't mind me just sharing the screen. Inshallah ta'ala. Just let me know if you can see my screen. Tayyib. Okay, so very quickly, just going to go through the Hajj with the GLM package just very quickly for those of you that are unaware of our package. So let's quickly go through it. Present. Inshallah ta'ala. So our main advisor, or rather our main imam for going with Hajj with GLM this year is our Sheikh Mustafa Barayan. So he'll be delivering this webinar today. You'll get to see a bit more about him, inshallah. He studied from Islamic University of Medina in Sharia. And he is quite an interesting individual, mashallah, tabarakallah, someone who I work with. And I could say, mashallah, he's, I think, a very all-encompassing, very good individual, mashallah, as well as an imam and as a religious advisor for the masjid. Tayyib. So just to talk about GLM in terms of our package really quickly, just before he starts, he's just looking at me right now. The masjid has been going on for over 50 years, alhamdulillah, established for over 50 years of da'wah. And we have a range of services, up to 70 different services that we provide in the masjid. So Hajj with GLM was an option that was just, you couldn't say no, given the fact of what we're currently doing as a masjid, alhamdulillah. And our package, inshallah, is 18 days. So it's an extended premium package. I'm not going to go through it in too much detail, but I'm just going to quickly elaborate on the package itself. There'll be four nights in Medina. Technically five, yeah, but four nights and 4 days in Medina. We'll be staying in Dar al-Tayyibah. And there's also 4 days in Mecca as well. So you'll be staying in Jabal Umar Hilton Convention Center. And then the remaining 10 days, you'll have access to Aziziyah. The first 2 days, you'll be staying in Aziziyah for sure. Then you'll do the Hajj rites in Mina and in Muzdalifah. And then you'll come back to Aziziyah for the final few days, where you can then rest up a little bit, inshallah ta'ala, as well with regards to that. So it's quite a nice package if you consider it from that perspective. You come in quietly, you come into the calmness of Medina, and in Mecca you get to perform Umrah, you get to be in the Kaaba without the pressure of Hajj itself. Then you have the intense training sessions of Aziziyah, first 2 days, and then the remaining days you have Hajj, and then the final days before you leave, you have just resting, visiting the Kaaba casually, and these sorts of things, inshallah. So it's quite a nice package in that regard, inshallah ta'ala. For those of you who would like to know the code, this is our code, A1410UGLM. So yeah, before we pass it on to Sheikh, I'm going to pass it on to Sheikh now, inshallah. If you have any questions about the package, then do let me know. I'll be here to the end to answer the questions, inshallah, as well as Sheikh Mustafa as well. Actually, Sheikh, if you can give some nice words of wisdom as to why Hajj with GLM would be a good option for these people, inshallah, that'd be really good as well. Allahu barik fik. And I'll go quiet now.
Inshallah ta'ala, before I start, and this lecture, I believe, inshallah ta'ala, or this short talk, is really, really important. It really helps you understand, get really into the mindset of Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. And before I start, I just want to, inshallah, reiterate what our brother Asim was telling us. Inshallah ta'ala, I highly encourage everyone join us for Hajj this year. Because Hajj this year, inshallah ta'ala, is not, we are not only facilitating Hajj. Rather, we are there with you, inshallah ta'ala, for the duration of the journey, ensuring you are getting that spiritual enrichment. The whole point of Hajj is to create that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is really our forte as a masjid, as a da'wah organization, as teachers who spend the throughout the year teaching the seerah, connecting people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching the rulings of Hajj. Inshallah ta'ala, you will have a really good experience when it comes to spiritual connection, fulfillment, and understanding, inshallah ta'ala. So I highly encourage you guys, inshallah ta'ala, and I'm sure our brother Asim has given you a lot more details of why you should book with GLM. Inshallah ta'ala, Greenland Masjid. We're not a Hajj organization that's trying to make profit. We are a masjid trying to fulfill and help you fulfill and facilitate acts of worship, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. So now, what I want to do, inshallah ta'ala, is talk about the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I want all of you to really help me by really working your imagination, inshallah ta'ala. I want you to imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina. And I want you to understand the history. Why is the Prophet in Medina when he was born in Mecca? We know because the Meccans, they banished him and kicked him out because of his call, his mission to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mission against idolatry and idol worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was from Mecca. That was his hometown. His father was born in Mecca. His grandfather, great-grandfather, all of them. That was the place he was from. Yet he had to leave. And he had to leave in a way that none of us would want to leave their hometown. He was chased away. They were trying to murder him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I want you to imagine that journey where he had to hide in a cave. Who was with him? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his great confidant and companion. And they made that trek all the way to Medina. And then the Prophet ﷺ went in for 10 years in hardship and struggles, trying to establish Islam and establish the faith of Islam and connect the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't easy. He had to fight battles. It wasn't easy. He had to overcome many challenges. But in the end, alhamdulillah, after 10 years, things in Arabia were settled down. Most of the Arabians became Muslim. After 10 years in Medina and the 13 years in Mecca, 23 years of the Prophet's life, where he was calling to Islam, finally, he was ready to make his Hajj. The only Hajj he ever did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as the Prophet. The only Hajj. This is known as the farewell pilgrimage, the farewell Hajj. And that is the only account of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we have. And we tried, inshallah ta'ala, here at Greenland Masjid, the package that we've actually put together is trying to mimic the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible. Someone is asking me if I can make my screen bigger. Yalla, bismillah, that's good. Where was I? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about to embark on his farewell Hajj. It's an extremely huge moment in his life and in the seerah. The first and only Hajj the Prophet is doing as a Prophet. At a time where Mecca has been conquered. It's a Muslim city now. But the Prophet still lives in Medina. And he announced that he is going on Hajj. 10th year of the Hijrah. He announced he's going on Hajj. And then word spreads. The Prophet is going on Hajj. And every single person wanted to go with the Prophet. And they all start to gather in Medina. I want you to imagine all types of tribes and chiefs and leaders and people, men, women, girls, boys, everyone coming to the Medina to ensure they are going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will also be embarking from Medina on our journey for Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. And that is the sunnah the Prophet went from Medina, inshallah ta'ala. So as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina, there were so many people with him. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived at a place called Dhul Hulayfa. Now, Dhul Hulayfa is the miqat, meaning it is where you make your intention. Inshallah ta'ala, we will also be making our intention as we are going to Mecca when we are adjacent to Dhul Hulayfa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam camped there with his companions. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was on my camel, and I looked towards the north, and I could in front of us. And as far as I could see, there were a sea of people. and I looked towards my left, the same, my right, the same. It looked like all of Arabia gathered to make Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving Mecca in a hurry as someone that is being chased and now returning back to Mecca with thousands and thousands and thousands of believers and worshippers with him. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made his promise true to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? The same sunnah that we will fulfill inshallah ta'ala, the Prophet showered. And you know, when you shower for an act of worship, it is extra important. What are some other acts of worship we shower for? Who can tell me in the chat? Any act of worship that deserves for us to shower for, it highlights its importance. So who can tell me what is an act of worship that we also shower for before we embark on it or do it? Naam? Jumu'ah, jazakallahu khair. And that highlights Jumu'ah is not like any other salah. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he made his ihram, before he made his intention, he showered sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then everyone else did the same thing. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked for perfume to be brought to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perfumed all of his body, atar, as well as his hair. So much to the point where, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a fragrant smell anyway. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head and body gleamed with the atar oil and how nice he smelled. Again, the sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, what we will be doing as we embark on our journey as well. Then he put his robes on, very simple, but white robes. He put the robes on and then he went and he said, bring me my camel, bring me my camel. And his camel was brought to him. And then it was a simple camel, a simple mount. And he mounted on it and he was in the middle of the people. He didn't have a specific area. He wasn't ahead of them. He wasn't behind them. Right there, mixing with the people, he went on his camel. And as he went on his camel, everyone else, some were riding, some were walking, they are ready to embark on their journey to Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك وسعديك لبيك إله الحق. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the talbiyah in a beautiful way. What do these words mean? And I want you to again think about the Prophet's situation. His whole life, he's been begging people, only worship Allah. His whole life, he's been calling people, forget idols, forget other religions, forget everyone else and worship only Allah. And there he is on his camel announcing his niyyah for Hajj. The same thing we will do. Labbaik Allahumma Hajj. And he said, O Allah, here I am. I respond to you. My Hajj is for you. La riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. A Hajj that has no showing off, no ill intentions other than worshiping you, O Allah. As the Prophet made his intention, everyone else did the same thing. Everyone else did the same thing. Now let me ask you a question. Who do you think was the Prophet's travel partner? Of course, everyone is the Prophet's travel partner because we have hordes, thousands of people with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who do you think is right there next to him? I give you a hint. It is whoever you think it is. It is the same person that left with him from Mecca to Medina on the Hijrah journey. Which companion do you think I'm talking about? Who's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right there next to him? You can write either in the chat or give me a thumbs up and you can answer inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair, Rabina. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu right there next to him. How beautiful. The same companion that made that journey with him, his friend, his confidant, the greatest sahabi right there next to him as the Prophet is chanting his talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And everybody else is saying the same thing. We respond to you, O Allah, you're the only one worthy of worship, as they make their way slowly but surely towards Mecca. As they are traveling, my brothers and sisters, Angel Jibreel comes from the heavens to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Angel Jibreel. And Angel Jibreel says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Muhammad, tell your people to raise their voices high when they are reciting and chanting the talbiyah, because it is a symbol of Hajj. Murhum. Tell them to raise their voices, the talbiyah, because it is a symbol of Hajj. And I want you to remember that, inshallah ta'ala, as we are going on Hajj together, I want you to remember that when you're saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here we are, O Allah, here we are. We respond to you, Allah. We respond to you. Labbaik, la sharika laka, labbaik. Indeed, you have no partner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we say this, remember the sunnah is to raise your voice, especially for the men and the brothers. They made their way. And as they were making their way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, you cannot really distinguish him from anyone else. Of course, the nur of his face you can distinguish, and his majesty and beauty. But he wasn't treating himself as special, where everyone is behind him, or that he is being guarded by security right there in the sea of people. Anas ibn Malik, this great companion, said, I was sharing my mount with the companion Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And he said, as we were traveling, sometimes our knee would bump against the knee of the Prophet because of the close proximity. I want you to imagine the Prophet and his companions reading the Talbiyah, traveling, all wearing the ihram. The men, the women, of course, they don't wear the ihram, but you know what I mean, making their way to Mecca. And then the Prophet ﷺ came across a valley. And he said, oh, Abu Bakr, what's the name of this valley? And the Prophet, Abu Bakr, says, this valley is called Asfan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I see a vision. It is almost as if I can see Prophet Hud and Prophet Salih walking here, saying the Talbiyah. The Prophet is teaching us the path that they are upon is not the same, is not a singular path. It is the path of the Prophets. The Prophet is telling us Prophet Hud journeyed and made Hajj. Prophet Salih journeyed and made Hajj. After a while, the Prophet said, it is as if I see Yunus ibn Matta, Yunus of the whale, traveling down this hill on his camel going to Hajj. And then later on he said, it is as if I see Musa ibn Imran, the Prophet Musa, traveling and making Hajj. The Prophet is sharing this with us and with his companions to remind us the journey of Hajj is not something specific to Prophet Muhammad or Prophet Ibrahim. Rather, all of the Prophets made Hajj. And we know when Prophet Isa comes back, he will go for Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ journeyed to Mecca. As he journeyed to Mecca, my brothers and sisters, they camped outside near Mecca. It took them about 8 days and they stayed there for a night because there is a sunnah that is really important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showered. Of course, after 8 days of travel, it makes sense to shower. But we extract from that the sunnah, it is important to shower before you enter Mecca, if you can. Sometimes it's not possible because you're traveling by train directly into Mecca and going to your hotel. But if you ever have the opportunity and you can, maybe you're traveling by car, maybe you're traveling by bus, if you can, to stop and shower before you enter the sacred city of Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showered. By then it was the fourth day of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet is ready to make his Umrah. Because sometimes, depending on what type of Hajj you're doing, and the different types of Hajj, we will cover that, my brothers and sisters, next week, inshallah. Actually, not next week, after Ramadan, I believe. Asim will let us know when it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showered. He's still wearing his ihram. He's still saying the Talbiyah. And then he entered Mecca, the beautiful city, the city he loved, the city he grew up in. As he entered Mecca, he made his way to the sacred mosque, the Masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He entered from the same gate he always used to enter when he used to live in Mecca. But it wasn't the same. Back then, when he used to enter the Masjid, he used to enter it hostile, hatred, envy, idolatry, idols littered all over. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Umayyah ibn Khalif and these heinous people there, insulting him, calling him a liar, hurting him and his Sahaba. But now he enters the Masjid and it's quiet. He enters the Masjid, there's not one idol in sight. He enters the Masjid and all there are is his fellow worshippers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his way to the Kaaba. And as he made his way to the Kaaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became emotional. And he made his way to the black stone. And that's what we should do. Of course, it will be probably too heavy to make it all, too busy to make it all to the black stone. But that's where the tawaf starts. Because the Prophet is about to perform an Umrah. He goes to the black stone. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kisses the black stone. He kisses the black stone and he holds his head there for quite some time. And when he raises his head, the Sahaba saw the Prophet's eyes. He's crying. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's crying. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Send salawat upon the Prophet, my brothers and sisters. The Prophet made sujood. and then he started his tawaf. He started his tawaf seven circuits. When he came to the Yemeni corner is the corner before the Hajj al-Aswad. Right when you're about to finish, he said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, which means, oh Allah, grant us goodness in this world, grant us goodness in the next world, and save us from the fire. After he finishes the waf, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can everyone hear me, by the way? I'm scared that no one is hearing me. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me, and if you're following the story. Okay, good, good, good. I'm just checking. Brilliant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he went to the Maqam Ibrahim. The Maqam Ibrahim, my brothers and sisters, is the stone that Prophet Ibrahim stood on as he was building the Kaaba. And Allah says in the Quran, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, take the place Ibrahim stood as a place of prayer. So the Prophet stood there and he prayed two rak'at. And after he finished his two rak'at, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made his way to the Sa'i, the two hills, Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started at Safa. And as he climbed Safa, the same hill, Hajar, his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, because the Prophet is a direct descendant of Prophet Ismail. And Prophet Ismail's mother was Hajar. The same place she walked. He climbed Safa. And as he climbed Safa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we will do the same thing. We won't climb it because the hill kind of disappeared, but we will go near Safa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned towards the Kaaba and raised his hand. And look at the dua that he read. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Then he said, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah, Him alone. He has no partner. To Him belongs all dominion and all blessings. And He's able to do all things. Then look at the same dua that we read. La ilaha illallah wahdah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. Then look. Nasara abdah. He gave victory to His servant. He gave victory to His servant. I want you to imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing nearby the same place where, because look at the, again at the significance of that moment. He's standing on Mount Safa, the same place he declared his prophethood 20 years ago. 20 years ago, that same place he stood and he told Quraysh, I'm a prophet of Allah, and they mocked him. Now, 20 years later, all of Mecca is Muslim. And he's performing Hajj in a Kaaba that is emptied from idolatry. And he's saying, Nasara abdah, O Allah, you gave victory to your servant. Sadaqa wa'adah, O Allah, you were truthful in your promise. Wa'azza jundah, you gave honor to your soldiers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wahazam al-ahzaba wahdah, and O Allah, you are the one who defeated the coalitions. So many people were against us. You're the one who defeated us. He praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he descends. And he descends from Safa, hurrying. And as he's hurrying, he would run with it in the midst and then climb Marwa again. These are now marked by green lights where we run under to remember our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the Prophet went to Marwa, he did the same thing. Turned towards the Kaaba and made dua. By this time, the people of Mecca are aware the Prophet is in the city making his Umrah, the Umrah before Hajj. And they come almost like a watch party. We want to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want to see the Prophet. So they come and they look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in between Safa and Marwa. And it becomes so busy. And it becomes so busy. People want to see the Messenger of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah has honored him. Look how Allah has honored him. The same city he once had to flee from. This teaches us, my brothers and sisters, this teaches us that whomever Allah chooses to honor, none can dishonor. Whomever Allah chooses to elevate, they will be elevated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was about to finish his sa'i, and you guys know the sa'i in Safa and Marwa, how many times do we go between them? Who knows? How many times do we go in between them? Seven times, jazakallah khair, seven times, right? So these seven times that we are doing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he's done a number, he said, bring me my camel. So they brought him his camel, and he climbed his camel, and he finished off with his camel. He did that so that the people that are interested in seeing him can see him properly, because they became so crowded that if he was on ground level, they wouldn't be able to see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted them to have the opportunity to see the Messenger of Allah. But there's a greater benefit that we learned from that. And that is, now that we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a portion of his sa'yi on camelback, we can then base upon that those among us that need to use a vehicle for their sa'yi. Because if we never saw the Prophet do that, we may have been thinking, well, is it allowed or is it not allowed? Now we know it's allowed. So alhamdulillah, when you go to Mecca, for those among you, if you have parents or you're personally in a situation where you cannot perform these acts of worship by foot, then you have the opportunity to do it with a vehicle, especially I believe on the third floor and the seventh floor of the, or it's not seventh floor, the higher floors of the Haram Masjid, inshallah ta'ala. So much barakah. The Prophet ﷺ finished his sa'i, then he went and he cut his hair and he went outside of Mecca in a place where he gathered and he camped outside of Mecca and he prayed there, waiting for the days of Hajj. The same thing we will be doing at some point in Mecca when we will be waiting for the days of Hajj to start. The days of Hajj, of course, starts from the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, where you go to the to Mina. The Prophet ﷺ all that time would be teaching, would be reminding, and be leading his companions in prayer. Then, when other companions that were a bit behind joined him, like his cousin Ali ibn Talib, or Musa al-Ash'ari, and other companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, on the 8th of the Hijjah, announced that they were making their way to Mina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Mina, and we will be also going to Mina. And when he went to Mina that night, of course, he combined his prayer. Again, the sunnah of combining the prayers, the Prophet combined his prayers, and then went to Mina. And he stayed there, and then the following morning was the most important day of the year. The most important day of Hajj is called the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his way to Arafah, and he told everyone to go. And if you miss Arafah, my brothers and sisters, that is, you missed your Hajj. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his camel again, and everyone is making their way to Arafah. On his way there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way there, a Bedouin man grabbed the Prophet's camel and said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amal idha amaltu adkhul al-jannah. Tell me one action. Tell me an action. Give me an advice that if I do, I will go to Jannah." I mean, very smart companion. He was a Bedouin man, and the Prophet ﷺ said to him the following, and I want you to think about this. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you want to go to Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ said, believe in Allah alone and never commit any shirk. Believe in Allah alone and never commit any shirk. Pray your 5 daily prayers. Give your zakat. Fast the month of Ramadan. Keep the ties of kinship. Family matters. Keep the ties of kinship and you will enter Jannah. The Prophet then said to him, let go of my camel. And he let go and the Prophet ﷺ continued. He continued on his way to Arafah. And on his way to Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ stopped at the mosque, Namira Mosque, a mosque that is very special. In Namira, there's a mosque, very special, Masjid al-Khayf, where so many of the messengers prayed. The Prophet ﷺ stayed in Arafah that day. And then everyone gathered around the Prophet ﷺ for one of the most momentous occasions of the Prophet's life. One of the most important moments of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a key moment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of the Sahaba, thousands and thousands, and we're talking about almost 100,000, tens of thousands of companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to deliver his farewell speech. It's called Khutbatul Wada', his farewell speech. And my brothers and sisters, this is such an important speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such an important speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, oh people, listen to me. Oh people, listen to me. For I do not know whether I shall meet you again after this year. Oh people, listen to me. For I do not know whether I will meet you again after this year. The Prophet then said, indeed your blood and your wealth and your honor are just as sacred as this blessed city, as this blessed day, as this blessed month. Because the month was the month of Dhul Hijjah, which is a sacred month. And the place was the Haram area, the Arafah, which is a sacred place. So just as today is sacred, and this month is sacred, and this place is sacred, your blood is sacred, so do not kill each other. Your wealth is sacred, so do not steal from each other. Your honor is sacred, so do not dishonor each other. And then he said, you will surely meet your Lord, and he will ask you about your deeds. Do not return back to disbelief by killing each other. Subhanallah, we see knife crime, wars, oppression all over the world. The Prophet is saying, do not return back to disbelief by killing each other. This means that killing is a form of disbelief. Not maybe major disbelief, but still. Then he says, trust and responsibility. Whoever has a trust and responsibility, let him return it. All forms of interests are gone. No one needs to pay back interest anymore. And the first usury and interest that I'm getting rid of is the one that belongs to my uncle Abbas. The Prophet ﷺ then said, oh my people, shaitan has lost hope. Shaitan has lost hope that in the Arabian Peninsula, shirk will be worshipped. Shirk will be done. Then he spoke about the rights of women. Fear Allah regarding a woman. They are your wives are a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them their rights and treat them well. The Prophet then spoke about discrimination and racism. No superiority does an Arab have over a non-Arab, or a black over a white, or vice versa. Indeed, the most honorable among you is the one that is the most righteous. Stay, hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah, and you will never go astray. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned a many number of things. Can I give you all homework? Homework for all of you? Google the Prophet's final farewell and read it. Please. It is the final major address the Prophet ﷺ gave to his companions. Then the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand and he says, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. What does that mean? Oh Allah, be my witness. I want you to imagine this is during Hajj. They're wearing their ihrams. They're at Arafah. The Prophet just delivered the most important speech. And then he said, oh Allah, be my witness. Oh Allah, be my witness. Oh Allah, be my witness. That he, what? Bear witness for what? That he has delivered the message. Then the Prophet ﷺ went on the Mount of Rahmah, Jabal Rahmah. Again, that mount is where most people gather. You don't have to gather there. You can stay in your tent in Arafah. But a lot of people like to go there, but you do not need to go there. Because anywhere you are in Arafah is fine when you're making dua. The Prophet ﷺ then sat somewhere, raised his hand by himself and made dua. He made so much dua. And as he was making dua and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the statements that was heard that he said was, Allahumma inna al-aisha aisha al-akhirah. Allahumma inna al-aisha aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, indeed, true life is the afterlife. Oh Allah, indeed, true life is the afterlife. May Allah make us among those that truly live in the afterlife. Say Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Angel Jibreel to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Angel Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with it, the final portion of the Quran. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today Allah says, I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased Islam as your religion. That was revealed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He shared it with his companions, mainly Umar al-Khattab, who heard it and who rejoiced, but also became sad because the completion of the religion meant that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have to stay with the Ummah anymore. Because the religion is complete. So Umar suspected, does this mean the time of the Prophet is about to end? And truly it was about to end. The Prophet did not live more than three months after that, after this incident. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 months later, the Prophet would pass away. And then, there's so much to say. I don't want to take more time of you guys. Perhaps I can continue next time, inshallah ta'ala. But let me ask you guys for some feedback, because this is a very different way of speaking about Hajj. Instead of telling you about the rulings of Hajj, we were going through the Hajj journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did you guys find it? Did it make sense? Do you guys appreciate it from a seerah perspective? Can I have some feedback from you guys before we conclude, inshallah ta'ala? Because I think we'll be going for quite a while, and I don't want to take much more time from you.
If you guys would like to raise your hands as well to ask any questions through the microphone or give your feedback, you can do so. Just raise your hands and I'll unmute you, inshallah.
I mean, Sulaiman is saying it's perfect length for a weekday. We all appreciate it's a weekday. Jazakallah khair, Sulaiman. Alhamdulillah. And again, this is the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to learn, so much more to share, which again, we encourage, inshallah ta'ala. Like I said to you, like I said to all of you, Hajj journey is not just about facilitating worship. It's about education and transformation. And hence why, inshallah ta'ala, if Allah decrees that you travel with us for your Hajj, there will be much more of this type of learning, inshallah ta'ala. Honestly, because we will get to spend, is it 18 days? 18 days where we are engaged in worship, transformation, learning, and it will be very seerah-centric, inshallah ta'ala. Very seerah-centric.
It will be recorded, inshallah.
You can also, inshallah ta'ala, get back to this recording in inshallah ta'ala as well. So what else is it? Very engaging, feels like you're living the journey. Jazakallah khair. That's the whole point, inshallah ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, when you're there, wearing your robes, saying labayk Allahumma labayk, you can understand, or not if you're the sisters, of course, you can understand, inshallah ta'ala, that you're embodying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feekum. If there are no more questions then.
Yeah, I was just going to say for everyone, inshallah ta'ala, as well, have a look at our guidance portal. So if you go onto hajjwithglm.co.uk, check out our guidance portal. We've got a lot more classes and webinars there, or recorded lessons there, inshallah ta'ala, as well. This will be our final session. We're going to break up for Ramadan. And then after Ramadan, we'll continue with our three more lessons, inshallah ta'ala, to finish off the six-part series. Inshallah ta'ala. Allah barik feekum.
Barakallahu feekum, everyone. Take care of yourselves, inshallah ta'ala. Again, please make sure that you stay on top of the bookings if you haven't already. I'm looking forward to seeing you all, inshallah ta'ala, when we come back, as well as on our Hajj journey, inshallah ta'ala. Say ameen.